And we'll turn in God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, looking at the first 15 verses as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. As Paul continues what he started talking about in chapter 17 that we looked at last week, he's talked about provision for the poor, and now we look at, again, how God works that out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, and so much that we desired Titus that he had begun, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality. Now that at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing left over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. And we see actually then as we continue in this passage, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we will see that this is what came out of the Corinthians as well, and out of Titus. And so as we look at this passage, perhaps a little help for, again, a roadmap of what's going on. The Macedonians had already given greatly to the brothers and sisters in Judea. The mother church was being persecuted. The church in Judea was being persecuted. And so the brothers and sisters in Macedonia had given generously and above generously to the help of the brothers and sisters in Judea. And Paul is now calling upon the brothers and sisters in Corinth to do the same thing, to help those who were in grave need because of the persecution of the Roman government going on against the church. And as he talks about that, he talks about their generosity. And he says, I don't say this by commandment in verse 8, but testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others, by the generosity that had gone on. And so, as we look at this passage, we look at a theme that is perhaps somewhat more foreign to my preaching than perhaps it should be. But at the same time, it's a theme that we have directly in God's Word this morning, is that how we hold the things that God gives us on this earth demonstrates the sincerity of our love. What do we do with them? Do we help our brothers and sisters in the Lord? So how we hold the things that God gives us on this earth, our generosity with them, demonstrates the sincerity of our love, not just towards man, but towards God. And as we look at this passage then, in the first five verses, we see the abundant generosity of the Macedonians. The word used in the English here, liberality, is helpful, but has gotten bad usage because of, well, the modern liberals. But the word is the idea of generosity. And as well then, in verses 6 through 9, we see a call to generosity, to generous giving, not as a commandment, but as a test, in verses 6 through 9. And then in verses 10 through 15, we see the advantage of completing generosity, not just being saying, well, I want to give, but actually giving. Actually giving beyond what might be expected. And so first of all, we see, and Paul lays out in front of us, in front of the Corinthians, the abundant generosity of the Macedonians. We see that the churches in Macedonia, and some of the wording here is kind of hard to pull out. I spent a fair amount of time weeding this out in the Greek because the English actually follows the Greek pretty closely and makes it harder for us to understand sometimes. That in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and of their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. What's he saying there? He's saying that they gave despite the trials that they were in their affliction, they gave out of the abundance of their joy and out of their deep poverty above and beyond what they even really could give for the churches in Judea, in Jerusalem. God gives grace to the churches in Macedonia to give above and beyond what they could really even give. Richly giving. Notice that word. The riches of their liberality there at the end there. Note the starkness of the contrasts that God puts in, that Paul puts into these words. And that's what I think we are to be shocked by, is we've got poverty, we've got trial, we've got affliction going on, and yet they abounded in liberality, abounded in generosity to the church, to the giving. Mark 12, verses 43 and 44, we remember the poor woman. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put more in than all those who have given to the treasury. For they have put out in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." We can't outgive God. I think that's something we need to understand. The more we give, the more God gives back to us. We'll read about that later on as we come forward in this sermon. Urgently giving beyond their ability. Not only did they do it, well, okay, I've got to give this, but they pushed urgently, verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They didn't have much. They were in poverty and in trials, but they were very urgent to give what they could possibly give and above and beyond it. Freely giving. They weren't compelled to do this. Freely offering what God had given to them and above what they really could give. Urgently pushing that a gift would be received for ministering to the saints, for fellow Christians, those who were persecuted in Judea. And the word there is the gift would be received for to be deaconed, given, exercising the office of deacon to the brothers and sisters in Judea and Jerusalem. Paul writes about this in Romans 15, 25 and 26, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister deacon to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia," reading about them here, "and Achaia," Corinth, both of them, "to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." Paul's reflecting on what's going on here and what he's calling the brothers and sisters in Corinth to do here. Willingly giving first to God's work, then to fellow Christians, verse 5. "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." They gave themselves to the Lord through faith, and furthermore, then they gave to us to the spreading of the gospel, but much more to the brothers and sisters in Christ who needed help in Judea and in Jerusalem. And so we see, first of all, the abundant generosity of the Macedonians going above and beyond what they could possibly give. They gave it. To the point it was a trial for them to give. And Paul then says, "This is my call to you." Not just to the Corinthians, but to us today. Not as a commandment, but as a test. We are called through Titus to generosity. Very interesting. Paul says, this was worked by Titus in Macedonia. And now he's saying, Titus, go over here to Corinth and tell these guys to give too. So the call comes to us through Titus. That he would complete this grace of generosity in you as well, we read. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 17, just a little bit after our text. "For he not only accepted the exhortation," speaking of Titus, "but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord." Titus has already gone and done this. We're going to look at that, the Lord willing, next week. That the church of Corinth would abound in generosity as well. He states, "You abound in faith, speech, knowledge, diligence, and love for us." But they needed generosity as well. Sometimes we could say, well, we've got all those things. Do we really need to get out the offering plate? And we need to be careful to be generous. It is a gift of God as well. The next chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work." We ought not think it sufficient that, well, I've got a few good works back there. I'm doing okay. I've got this here, that there, over there, the other thing. We as Christians are not called to just a few good works here and there. If we have trouble with some good works, we are to try and fight to do them as well. We have to be careful about that. Generosity in imitation of Christ. He says, not a commandment, but a test of their sincerity and a test of our sincerity. The same idea that we see above, the Macedonians proved their love through generosity. He's saying, how do we prove our love? The same way. Our generosity, which God gives us. We are to imitate Christ in this. We read in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. We are to imitate Christ in giving of ourselves. Christ did not claim the glory that was his, but he hid it while he was on this earth. Not to say that he didn't have it while he was here, that's a heresy, by the way. But he hid it. Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Not just giving till it hurts. Giving through the hurt is what Jesus did. That's our example that Paul plays out in front of us here. Giving till it hurts, we can stop when it hurts. The picture that we have laid out in front of us in our passage this morning is not that. The giving that we have laid out in front of us is the Macedonians giving what they didn't even have to help. Giving Jesus on the cross, exemplified in Gethsemane when he cries out that this cup would be taken from him. Yet not my will, but thine be done. And so we have in Ephesians 1, we have the riches which we have in Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We are not just to give. We're not just to give according to our abilities. We're to give as Paul exemplifies for us, above and beyond. And he says, this is not by way of requirement, but it is by way of testing ourselves, of the love which God gives us. And so Paul says, well, you have this in the mind. You had this desire in the mind in verses 10 through 15. He says, don't just have it in the mind. Do it. Complete it. Complete the generosity which God calls us to have. Not just desire to give, but giving beyond means again. Not just the start, verse 10. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to do what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now also must complete the doing of it. Completion of what you have. Proverbs 19, verse 17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. We are called to give. We are called to provide, to help. Giving is reckoned according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Yet the examples laid out in front of us in God's Word this morning are not examples where they gave just what they had. The examples are that of those who gave above and beyond. For first, there is a willing mind is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. We are called to give out of what God has given to us in at least proportion to what God has given to us. 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. As we say in the theme here this morning, how we hold the things that God gives us on this earth demonstrates the sincerity of our love. How do we hold them? Do we have a death grip on them? Saying, God gave me this, now it's never going to leave my hands? Or do we hold them loosely? As God has given them to us to be stewards of them. Using the things, I love how our form talks about it with regard to deacons. Using the earthly things to a still better benefit to the soul of eternal life. And we are to use the things that God gives us on this earth. They're here as tools. And so often we get them confused with not tools, but the end of the matter. And we need to be very careful that we do not serve the tool, but that we use the tool for the service of Almighty God. How do we give? Not just a desire to give, but giving as God has richly blessed us, and giving even beyond the means. We can't outgive God. God will pay back. And yet He says, I'm not here to burden you. We're not here to give the opportunity for someone else to be lazy. We sadly do that in our government system today too much. That's why the church ought to be doing the work of helping the poor instead of the government. But from our abundance, He says, to supply their lack, and from their abundance to supply our lack for equality. We think about that when we hear in Acts 4, verses 34 and 35, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. You have to be careful. But we need to be careful, on the other hand, not to hold on to the things of this world foolishly and make that what our lives are about. And God will supply. Verse 15. As it is written, he who gathered had nothing left over, and he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. God provides. God blesses. And we're not going to get it right. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to get it perfect. Brothers and sisters, that's the picture that we had there in verse 15. Israel was called to gather manna according to each person's requirements. And we read in Exodus 16, verse 18, so when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. God makes the extra useful when we have it. God makes the lack spread when He's first. And sadly, so often we put the needs of our fellow Christians, the needs of everyone else, in the back seat. And we, brothers and sisters, need really to be called short by this. I do. We're to use the things that God gives us not just for ourselves, but to minister, to, as we said, deacon, to those who have needs. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at this passage, we have to be asked, and we have to ask ourselves, how do we hold the things that God gives us on this earth? We are to hold them as a trust from Him. or to use them not for ourselves and the things I want, but for the good and for the glory of God and for the good of His church, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, when there are those in need, or to be ready with generosity, not with a tight hand. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is not necessarily, if we will, a theme of what I would come up with. And I find it very interesting in many ways at the time in which and the place in which we come together with this passage in God's providence. Brothers and sisters, we're called to generosity with what God has given to us. To be ready to give. The examples given to us are examples of giving above and beyond measure. Above and beyond what even someone could possibly be expected to give. And so are we to give. Christ gave His life on our behalf, that we might have the riches of eternal life. That's how we're to give to our fellow Christians in their needs. Amen. Let us rise and let us bow before God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious and our merciful Heavenly Father, You have indeed blessed us beyond measure. When we consider the wonders of the gifts which You give to us, when we consider above all the wonders of the gifts of grace and of salvation, we look at the wonders which You have given to us, in which we have so many great gifts from You in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence. And we pray, O Lord, that You would give us this gift as well, the gift of generosity, that we might not hold the things of this earth tightly to ourselves, but that we might hold them as a stewardship from You, using them for the glory of Your holy name. We pray now, O Lord, that You would bless us, receive our thanksgiving for our Savior, who did not count it to be robbery to be equal with God, yet took upon Himself the form of a servant, of a slave, and gave His life on our behalf. We pray, O Lord, that we might imitate Him in our giving, for the glory of Your holy name. For we ask this praying in Christ's name alone, praying as He also taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.